You are listening to the 2015 Homelessness Marathon, a 15-hour radio broadcast making linkages between Canadian communities about the housing crisis, affordable housing, the causes and effects of homelessness. We have been live broadcasting from CICK in Smithers, British Columbia, and will move now to Winnipeg. Owing to its cold winters and its lack of affordable housing options, Winnipeg can be an especially difficult place to be homeless. A team of contributors from CKUW 95.9 FM engaged a researcher, an outreach worker, and a number of street-level individuals to try to discern some of the unique characteristics of homelessness in Winnipeg, and also to break through conventional stereotypes of the phenomenon. What follows is an audio portrait of what they discovered.
And I figured that 85% of my income was going for rent and utilities.
There's a real shortage of places for people to have a nice, decent place to sleep that is secure, that is clean. It's all we want, you know?
But to be honest, with the people that you run into on the street that are homeless with you, I think there's some of them are more closer than real families, that's for sure.
I don't think there should be allowed homelessness in the city. I really don't think. Like, why? Why?
I'm Christina Mays Nino. I'm a community animator at the Social Planning Council of Winnipeg. I've done a number of research studies on homelessness and who is experiencing homelessness in Winnipeg. Everyone that I've interviewed who is experiencing homelessness, they always say, I never thought this would happen to me. I never thought I'd be homeless. If we talk about the causes of homelessness, many of us know those individual factors, but the systemic issues are really what causes it across our society. And here in Winnipeg, it's housing, the lack of affordable housing, income, the lack of an appropriate income to afford that housing, and support, the lack of support. The majority of people who experience homelessness do so temporarily, lots of times because of a fire or because of a tragic circumstance. They might stay, you know, at the Salvation Army or at Siloam Mission for a week, 2 weeks, and then they get back on their feet. Or if someone loses a job and can't get employment insurance, you know, there's a two-week waiting period. I don't know how many people have enough money saved up to make sure their mortgage is paid all the time. But there are a lot more of us than we think who would end up maybe losing their home, at least temporarily.
My name is Thomas. This is my story. When I came back to this city, the first thing I did is I declared myself to the Family Maintenance Department to say that I've moved to Manitoba and I want to keep up my family maintenance payments. But the thing about Winnipeg is it's very unique. It's very, very difficult to be a $20 guy in a $10 town, and that's what Winnipeg is. Nobody wants to pay you the money. So I fell behind with my payments, and then the family maintenance, they put a double garnishee on my wages. I had a little bit of money left over from the land sale, which I gave more than half to my ex-wife and all that sort of stuff. But I had just enough to buy a really cheap house in Winnipeg on Ross Avenue, right in the ghetto, right in the ghetto. Well, they put a double garnishee on me, so after 2 weeks of hard labor, I only had like $124 left to live on. And, you know, so the heat went down, the water went down, the telephones went down, the electricity went down. And I was staying in a cold, frozen house, and then I couldn't pay my civic taxes. So that's when I decided to become Tombo. Like, I went Rambo. I would just work for cash money. Somebody said, can you take that wall down? Yeah, that'll take me 3 hours. That's $75. So I made all cash money. No income tax for years and years. And then the government tried to find me, but they couldn't find me. Then things changed. I needed a place to stay. So I built myself a little beautiful driftwood house right on the beach. It was completely covered by bushes and willows. You couldn't see it from the trail. Like, there's not very many places where you can really conceal yourself. I had salvaged some military spec canvas. It's beautiful. Once you're 3 feet away from that military spec canvas, you're invisible to infrared, so the helicopters couldn't find me. So I was living in my little Ho Chi Tom hooch. And then the fall came, the leaves fell off, and a couple of bums found me and they beat me up, hit me in the head, broke my leg, knocked out a tooth. So I've just been recovering from that.
My name is David Carrier. I'm an outreach worker with Street Connections, which is a program of Winnipeg Regional Health Authority. In my job, what I do is myself and a nurse, and I'm an outreach worker, and it's kind of like a social worker, if you will. We help people with their social issues and problems, and the nurse helps with the medical. And we go down on the street in a van, and we cruise certain areas where there's high concentrations of people that hang out on the street. You go to Toronto, people can actually kind of live on the street. You know, they can get into a place where they can stay warm on the street. They can do that in Vancouver, but in Winnipeg they can't. I mean, you'd really literally freeze outside. Being a prairie town or a prairie city, it's too cold, really too cold for people to sleep outside.
I'm at Angela Bedolf. I'm a mother and grandmother. I've been doing a lot of couch surfing. I've been staying with one of my girls and one of my boys. They're grown up. I came back from a conference in Ontario, and out of the blue, this daughter tells me I'm no longer welcome. And I was just appalled, and it was late at night too, and I said, well, okay then. Find other arrangements, more or less, at the end. I said, I'm not going to stay where I'm not welcome. So I ended up putting on my down clothing and everything, and I decided I was going to try to sleep outdoors, and almost froze. I'll try that for a few hours. And I went into the foyer of this building, and around 2 a.m., somebody who actually lived there let me in, and I went up to the fifth floor where there were no apartments, and I just slept in the stairwell there.
Sometimes people aren't dressed well for the weather, so we tend to carry some clothes, jackets if we have. We usually carry gloves, because years ago we used to see frostbite where people's fingers had turned black and gone down to the bone, and they would lose fingers. And we'd see this, you know, people be standing outside all day, and we'd see them, and they'd be out there for like ever, but they didn't have anything to keep themselves warm. So myself and another staff started buying gloves at the thrift stores, you know, and giving them out. Sometimes people get barred from the homeless shelters. One gentleman I had known for years, that became the case. He had been barred, and it was in the winter, one of our winters, and it was a few years ago. And everybody was wondering what happened to him, because we hadn't seen him for a while. And I think about 3 months passed, and they found him. He had died. He had found some warmth under an air vent that was pumping the air from inside of one of the department stores downtown. And so there was the outtake of warm air, and so he would sleep on that. And unfortunately, that's where he died. Tragedy. Really interesting guy. It's a real shame. Shouldn't have to happen.
In Winnipeg, we've traditionally, historically had a pretty affordable housing market. So people might have been living in, you know, in not very good housing, but at least they could afford it. And over recent years, over the past 10 years, the cost of housing in Winnipeg has gone up substantially, and the amount of available rental housing has gone down. So a lot of apartments have been turned into condominiums. A lot of houses that used to be rented out are now owned by people. So if you're looking for a place to rent, it's become a huge challenge, not only for people who are sort of seen as being more likely to experience homelessness, so people who are of a very low income, but also people who are maybe the working poor, or who are students or seniors. People with fixed incomes are a lot more likely to experience homelessness now in Winnipeg, because incomes just haven't risen to keep up with the cost of housing.
I started calculating, and I figured that 85% of my income was going for rent and utilities, and a lot of it, of course, I had children with me, so some of it went there too, which I didn't mind. But when you consider that when you're earning very little and you're also going to school, you know, like I remember back in the 70s, I was told that we should only be paying 25% of our income on rent. That's really laughable these days, isn't it? Where you can hardly find anything within a reasonable limit here. And the people that I've met that are telling me that they're having to vacate their apartments, houses, whatever, if they're renters, because the landlord wants to do major repairs and or wants to gentrify the place, like, or make it into a condo so only the elitists can move in. And so we have a whole horde of people now who are without decent housing. And as I have often commented, women especially, or if you're handicapped in some way and you're out in the streets, especially in winter when it's extremely cold, Arctic cold here, you're making yourself a prey.
Women also stay in different places than men. Women, especially with kids, are much more likely to go to a public space, or like the airport. The research study that I did, we had some focus groups with women, and three of them actually said in the same room, they said, you know, I went to the airport, and the other one said, yeah, I did that too, because there's a big bathroom there and I could sort of hide out with our kids. And they were sort of surprised because they never thought that anyone else had done it.
I've been pretty safe. But other people, if you're going to do it long term, I mean, I'm really concerned about these other people, especially when they're losing digits and possibly parts of their limbs or parts of their faces because they're having to sleep in bus shelters or dumpsters or wherever, stairwells, other places.
I've worked for a lot of companies that take over crummy apartments, revamp them, rebuild them, and all of a sudden the rent is up to like $600, $700, $800 for a bachelor suite. That is just a completely outside the market. There's a real shortage of places for people to have a nice, decent place to sleep that is secure, that is clean. It's all we want, you know?
What's the price of a house in Winnipeg? Who can afford that? I know I can't. It's ridiculous. When I was a kid, my dad bought his house for $21,000. Probably when I was in my 20s, that house was maybe $44,000, you know? But now, it's like probably like $300,000.
In other cities like Vancouver and Toronto, people really started to see homelessness. Homelessness became visible to a lot of people in the city decades ago because housing became expensive decades ago. So people were needing to go to emergency shelters and out on the street. Whereas in Winnipeg, we always had people in precarious housing or in poor housing, But even that housing is becoming even less available. So visible homelessness is becoming more apparent in Winnipeg more recently than it has in other cities in Canada.
Our riverbanks in the summer, especially in the downtown area, we find a fair amount of homeless that live there. Partially it's because they don't like maybe some of the rules and regulations in some of the shelters.
Good morning, everybody. It is 6:50. It is time to get up. 10 minutes to 7.
I mean, they may not fit in. I know they have, several of them have commented about that. And some of them, it's just simply the independence. You know, they don't have anybody tell them anything to do.
I live on Balmoral and by the river there. And I see tents there in the summertime in by the riverbank, like people sleeping over there. And I even saw a child out there, and I went out. I didn't want to intrude. I just went out and offered some water and some treats, like cookies and whatever he can have to eat, the boy. I said, does your son want this? And everything, sure, and all that. So I didn't want to get into his business, you know, just be, offer him some warm, like cookies and food, you know. I don't think there should be allowed homelessness in the city. I really don't think, like, why?
Something that's cropped up in the last few years, right between the Thunderbird Lodge on Main Street and Salvation Army, there's a green space. And what we've had in the last few years, consistently in the summer, is people, again, who probably don't fit in at the shelters for different reasons, and they put themselves up almost like a tent village, if they have tents. If not, then maybe they'll erect a canvas or maybe just a blanket or whatever, or just simply sleeping on the ground. But there's quite a few people that do that. So much so that in the summer, the city often brings a water truck so that they can have access to water, you know, so they can hydrate themselves.
In Winnipeg, there's it's all guesswork, right? We don't actually know exactly how many people are experiencing homelessness. It'd be impossible to know. But we know that we have overrepresentation of Indigenous people experiencing homelessness. Some guesses are between 50 and 70% of those who are homeless are Indigenous, whereas in the Winnipeg population, it's about 10% of our population is Indigenous. So that's for reasons that could take up a whole series about colonialism and poverty and racism. But in many of the people I've spoken to in the Street Health Report, I interviewed people who, I interviewed 300 people who had been absolutely homeless in Winnipeg. And we asked if they'd moved from reserve into Winnipeg. And those who had, we asked sort of, why did you first come to Winnipeg? And the majority of people who came to Winnipeg came either because there was no housing on the reserve, or because there were no jobs on the reserve, or because there was no education on the reserve. So they come into Winnipeg for opportunity. They come here to build a better life for themselves, for jobs, for education, for better housing, and then they find themselves homeless because there's no real support system for people moving into the city. They're sort of like immigrants and sometimes like refugees, right? Sometimes they're forced to leave their home. And yet there's no sort of settlement services for people who are moving from the north or from a reserve into the city.
Mm-hmm. My name is Andrew. I'm from up north, and I became homeless when I moved to the city. Well, due to my alcoholism, just to be honest, yeah. And I was stuck on the streets for a long, long period of time. Didn't really care if I had a home or not. Just worried about the next addiction I was in, like the alcohol. I was just stuck in that addiction, like I said. That's what led to my homelessness. It's like you just lose all. Sometimes you feel like you get that I don't really care anymore mentality of it all. Like you just want to give up and just sort of just to be found somewhere in a ditch somewhere. You just stop caring in a way.
All of the emergency shelters in Winnipeg are located in the same general area, the sort of Main and Higgins area. Silo Mission's a little bit further away on Princess Avenue. So they're all close by, which means that people travel between shelters, which is a positive thing for them. They can, you know, they can get food in one place and get a bed in another and maybe access clothing in another. But it does tend to create this sort of visible, some people call it a ghetto of homelessness. So it's all centralized in one location.
There's so much red tape to some of them. Like, I don't know, even Siloam Mission just wouldn't let my wife in one time because, her ex threw food at her that one time in there, I guess, and then they just didn't, they said, you can't be in here for public safety. You're like, she's in a wheelchair, hello? Like some of these organizations threw you off, or, you know? You just kind of like feel like you're being pushed aside or something. Like you're not really, like, you don't have meaning. Like to me, it felt like that sometimes. Like I had no meaning. Like, you know, to be there and eat their food that's even donated to them, right? So some things throw you off. But to be honest, with the people that you run into on the street that are homeless with you, I think there are some of them are more closer than real families, that's for sure. Like they help each other out, like they watch out for each other and all that stuff, they do. They form a bond, like they stick together, yeah they do.
Many Aboriginal children were taken away from their parents and given to people that were not even Canadians. Like we come across several people that grew up in the States because they were taken away and as Aboriginal children. Given to Americans, in some situations, then not even two parents, just maybe a man or a woman. And these children grow up, become young adults, and they might get into a little trouble. The police in the States, they run their name, find that they're not American citizens yet because they hadn't gone out and actually gotten their citizenship. And so they get deported to the port that they came from, and that was Winnipeg Airport. And we've seen it several times. They'll show up on Main Street because they're looking for people that look like them, you know, the Aboriginal face. And so people, they'll say, well, where are my people or people like me? And they'll say, go down to Main Street. And they'll go down Main Street and they'll walk down and people, and they'll start seeing faces that look similar to them. But the voices are usually different because sometimes we'll get somebody, for instance, from Georgia. And they'll have that southern Georgian accent, but they really look at very much Aboriginal. Looks odd. And what they'll usually want to do is now find their family, where they came from. And we've helped some people do that. And other people on Main Street has also done that, helped them to find their families and get reconnected. And it's funny, you know, like... in several of the situations that I know of, it was the homeless that helped them. It was the homeless that they found on Main Street that directed them to the services and lent out a hand. Yeah, you know, you're going to need to get a place to stay. You can stay here at the Salvation Army or you can stay at the Siloam Mission and you're going to need something to eat and this is where you can do it. And the people downtown that are homeless, I find are very, for the most part, very generous. You know, they'll share whatever they have. And so these people that have come in from the States that were scooped find in a funny way that Main Street can be kind of welcoming and home-like for them, where they didn't have that before.
Homelessness is sort of like that indicator of a caring city. And when you see people out on the street with absolutely nothing, it shows that there are people in our city that we've decided not to care for, that we've decided not to provide things for. Having homelessness in our city is a political choice. It's not an individual choice. You know, no one I've talked to says that they chose to stay on the streets. They might say, I chose to stay in a shelter instead of staying in that bedbug infested crappy home that I had before. That doesn't mean they're choosing. That means they had very limited choices to begin with. But having homelessness as a society, not having a social assistance system that provides enough for people to live, not providing enough social housing for all of those who are going to need it, and just support to find housing, that's a choice that we've all made as a society. And we can make a choice to do things differently. We can ask our politicians, we can ask ourselves, what do we really want to see in our city? And we can make a choice to end homelessness.
Winnipeggers should care about the homeless because for the simple fact that we're human. What does it mean to be human? When people do something extraordinary or they help others, they use that word. That person's being humane. Because that's what being human is, being communal, caring about each other. And that's what we all have to do.
What's our job? To transcend hesitation and then go beyond the known. And then that gives us, ergo, to feed the world, house the homeless, take care of all those dogs that are boneless, answer the call of a lone dark moan, fix all those payphones, and buy your lover flowers. That's all we need in this world to make it right. Amen.
This piece was produced by Sarah Aronson, Michael Welsh, Julian Cooper, Shireen Rampershad, and Susan Hubert, a project of CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, February 2015.
Musical background tracks were composed by Ferenc Hegedus and Shireen Rampershad. Many thanks to the clients of Shalom Mission and the staff and volunteers of Agape Table and Crossways in Common in Winnipeg for helping supply audio and cooperating with interviews. Special thanks to the individuals profiled in this feature for sharing their stories and their time with us.
For more information about CKUW or to listen live, please check out our webpage at www.ckuw.ca.